Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
It's not easy being Jeff Lewis.
I did cause all the problems, okay. But then I apologized, okay. And then I think we're good now. I believe my purpose here on Earth, I'm a bullshit police officer. Okay. I'm the bullshit police. All of you have either quit or been fired before. Andrew, did you quit?
A little of both.
Jeff Lewis has issues.
Hey, welcome to Jeff Lewis Has Issues. In today's episode, Egypt Sherrod and Mike Jackson join the show. We talk about long proposals, delayed punishment, and unwanted house guests. I eat so fast that what happens is I eat way more than I should. If I'd slowed down, I would be full quicker. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, if you actually took the time to chew every little piece.
Correct.
Let it digest properly. Got it.
I do.
So you eat a lot?
I emotionally eat. I think.
But it doesn't show. You're like one of those people who drive me nuts. You eat so much and then you burn so fast. I look at his rice and I blow up.
No, this is real. What's happened is that now I really only eat like one time or one and a half times a day. But here's the problem, Egypt. That one meal is so important that I think about it for 24 hours and I talk about it for 12 hours. Right, Shane?
Really?
It's all we talk about. Like, it's like a. We haven't talked about it yet today, and that's, like, unusual.
It's unusual, because we were rushed today.
So what time do you eat every day?
Well, I had half a bagel, so that's going to hold me off until, like, okay. 1 or 2. And then I'm trying to do, like, dinner. So that way, if I have a late lunch, then I won't eat dinner. And okay. Last night, I was hungry, and so I just kept drinking water.
Got it.
So you've thought about so far what you're going to eat today. I'd love to know, like, are you vegan?
Do
you
No.
Not the way. Hell.
Oh, no. I eat fast food.
You just talked about going in the Subway.
Yeah.
But I did because we were joking. But
what's your fast food
go-to? There was a
go-to?
Joke there. I'm going to leave it alone.
What's your fast food go-to?
It's always some kind of carb, pasta or something. Mm-hmm. Like last night, it was...
That's not fast food.
It is fast food.
No, it's not.
Because
pasta?
Slow food is like when I actually get in the kitchen and bake and cook and like make a turkey or something. Fast food is I put it on, I boiled the water, threw it in, and it was done in 10 minutes.
Our fast food is drive-thru.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
I can't eat drive-thru. My stomach doesn't agree with drive-thru.
Yeah. Really?
I can't do drive-thru.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Now,
I can't be in the car when she eats drive-thru.
You do want to stay married, don't you? You're going to wait till we get on the radio to pull that mess?
Now, you guys have been married for 19 years.
No, we've been together
19 years. Oh, together 19 years. Married for 13.
Yeah.
That's
14.
Why. Oh, because I was wondering, what took you so long to propose? Well, like, were you uncertain? Were you seeing other people?
Well, no, never. No, first day I saw her, she took everything away. But I actually asked her to marry me a month in. A month in, we were outside of Madison Square Garden, sitting in the car, and I looked at her and I said, listen, when I ask you to marry me, will you say yes? And I'm not saying in this moment, but when I ask you, are you going to say yes? And she said, yes, I will. So a month in, the first day I knew, but a month in I was asking her to marry me.
But then you waited another 5 years.
No, he didn't.
I didn't.
He proposed a few times.
This one here.
I was the one with the jitters. I was.
Yeah.
We actually canceled our first wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, he proposed a few times.
He did.
And had the ring and everything.
It just wasn't. You know, I was one of those women. I was doing the New York stiletto hustle, you know, like the get 'em girl. I am independent. I don't mm-hmm. need a man for nothing. And, you know, but I did. And
jaded.
I wanted to. But I was very jaded. And he was too good to be true. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been in a relationship with somebody that you were like, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop? Yeah.
No.
No.
I'm one of a kind. I'm one of a kind. But someone out there has been.
But I didn't believe him. So I just kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. And it, you know, it didn't. So finally, year four and a half.
Right.
When he proposed, I said yes, but we canceled the wedding a month. No, sorry. Was it 3 weeks before the wedding, right?
Yes.
What? Yeah. You're like a runaway bride.
Well, it wasn't just all her. It was also dealing with swine flu because we was going to be in Mexico.
Yeah, we were doing a destination.
So it was swine flu.
You remember they shut off. Obama said nobody travel to Mexico because of swine flu.
Oh.
And so, but actually, we were like,
whew. Right.
You blamed Obama?
We were both having jitters. Truth be told, I thought it was me. He thought it was him. Mm-hmm. Something just wasn't.
You were second guessing it.
Right.
So then you settled and you decided to marry him.
Yes. No, I'm joking.
First of all.
I'm joking. No, but truly what happens, we hadn't done the work. We were doing all this, you know, leading up to the wedding and all the wedding planning and turning into bridezilla and groomzilla, but we never did the work of how marriage would actually look. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we spent the next year doing. And then we actually got married.
Were you living together during all that time?
In sin.
Yes, we were.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes, we were.
How did you meet?
How did we meet? Well, we met, I'm going to give you the short version. We met on four different occasions with 6 months in between each time. The first time I ever saw her, she was hosting a nightclub venue. And I saw her from afar, literally light was only shining on her. The sound got muffled and in my heart. I said, that's my wife. Didn't know this person from Adam.
So
right?
He's a stalker. So,
well, so he was
stalked my way right into her heart.
He was a fine stalker, though. But, no, but he's so right. It was weird because I mean, and he was. You had just gotten divorced that first time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't. It was all
about
timing.
Wait, when you say the first time?
The first time we met each other.
Oh, okay.
He had only been divorced, I think, like 5 or 6 months.
Yeah.
So it wasn't good timing anyway.
Right.
But we just kept bumping into each other because I was a radio personality in New York. He was a club DJ.
Mm-hmm.
So we kept seeing each other, and I didn't want to date anybody in the business, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
I just didn't. But I was flipping houses, and, you know, that's where we got together, because I had no idea all that time he was a contractor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wait. So you're on the radio. You did it for like 20 years, right?
Yeah.
And then you're also kind of as a side hustle, you're flipping houses.
I was flipping houses, mm-hmm. and then I became a real estate agent, then a broker, while I was still on the radio.
Yep. Really?
Yeah. Because you know what? I don't know, maybe you do, but to me, radio was no money. There was no money in that for me, and I had to have... Like, what's the plan B? What's the retirement plan going to be here? Like, we got to do something else.
Yeah.
Because, no. So, that's how I, you know, you kind of, you're forged under fire. And, so we met because I have fallen through the roof of one of my investment properties.
Just a dangling.
I called my then mentor, Ulysses. I was like, I don't know what I was thinking. I was trying to tar this roof by myself, and I fell through. I'm done. Mm-hmm. I need a new team. He shows up, and I knew him. So I'm like, I said I needed a contractor, not a freaking DJ.
Right.
So he's like, I can leave. You want me to leave? You know, he was fed up with me at that point because I, a few months, didn't give you my number the previous times. But
it's all good, though. But, you know, after that moment, it was like we were inseparable. And
wait, after you met, you were going to, you hired him?
No, she didn't know she hired me.
Oh.
I just showed up, the crew that her mentor
In other words, I had
decided.
Fired. You've gone through this, Jeff, right? You've gone through this. It's hard to find, you know, good teams, good contractors. And I had gone through a few on that particular house. I fired them, which is rule number one. Don't fire your team before you have another one. So I was sort of desperate. And I called my then mentor, Ulysses, who referred him. And I said, just send him over. If they can get the job done, they're hired. And then he showed up. So... Yeah, I needed his help, but he took off his shirt and fixed the plumbing.
You take off your shirt when you work?
It was hot. I'm on a roof.
We fell in love over black mold.
So when you took off his shirt, you were like, okay.
No, that wasn't it. I'm just joking. No, he was a nice guy. He wasn't who I thought he was all that time, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, okay, so you're on a very, very successful show on HGTV. You started off, it's Married to Real Estate, but you started off with other shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you... Egypt, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you were on TV first?
I did 9 seasons of Property Virgins.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then we did a spinoff, Flipping Virgins, which was the worst name you could ever name.
Yes.
Yeah.
We laugh about that, but we were trying to do, you know, a logical spinoff of Property Virgins. So I think, what did I do? 3 seasons of that?
Mm-hmm.
But that show in my head, when we pitched the spinoff, was supposed to be Mike and I.
Mm-hmm.
But our production company at the time didn't see him as the partner. So Mike was in the background the entire time doing the work. On camera, you only saw me.
Okay.
You know, working with the clients, but he was there the whole time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, the real show is here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's about timing yet again.
Yeah.
So right, then after, okay, so you did Property Virgins and then you did Flipping Virgins. Mm-hmm. And how long did it take to do the show you're on now? Pitch it to them?
It started on his cell phone.
Yep. So during COVID, we had all this time, you know, the kids are home, we're doing schoolwork. We're still doing the construction. We're still doing real estate because at that time it was booming because everyone's home looking around thinking,
yeah,
I need to do something to my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I just pulled out the camera and said, let me record everything we're doing. And we had already had some footage. You know, we captured our lifestyle with the kids, put it into a reel and showed management. Management said something's here, sent it to the network. And they said, we've got a show. Let's get it going.
At the time, it was called Home Team, though.
It was called Home Team.
But well, at least word virgin was in it. I mean, they learned their lesson.
I know.
Although, I have to say, if I see the word virgin, I would stop. You know what I mean? If I'm, like, looking through the...
And that was the logic, too. But, you know, we had anything to do a lot virgin. Of explaining about that show title.
Marriage. Yes. How can we fit that word in, maybe, to the new show? But the new show, you're in season 3, I think episode 8, what airs this Thursday.
Right.
Oh, is this the season where the showrunner had a heart attack?
No.
Yeah. No. Did you hear what he just said?
Yeah. Yeah,
this is.
Am I supposed to say that?
I don't know if that was public knowledge, but yes, someone on our
show got
very ill and had a heart attack.
Yes.
And yes.
You had so to we shut had to, down.
We had to shut down for a little bit.
For a little bit.
But But did the season, it's the best season yet.
Did you have to replace the person that had the heart attack?
We did.
Or did you wait? Okay.
We waited for a bit. We tried to because he was wonderful. We loved him. He was our favorite showrunner in the world. We tried, but when it appeared he wasn't going to be able to come back, we had to replace him. So, you know, everything stops till you get it right.
Yeah. I think when I was on Tear Therapy between season one, we had to shut down.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, why did you have to shut down?
I got in a humongous fight with the showrunner. She was fucking incompetent and terrible. And then they had to replace her. Like, I wouldn't work with her. Like, it got really bad.
What?
Yeah. I'm surprised I'm still working.
See, so here's the thing, right? I feel like, as you said, and I don't, can we cuss on this show?
You can do whatever you want.
You said, my show's a shit show. And I'm like, okay. So I'm going to keep it very real and raw with you.
Good.
I feel like as a black woman, if I don't get along with my crew, if I don't go above and beyond, even the difficult ones to get along with the crew, I'm the difficult one. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I'm the difficult one. So I always feel like I'm on guard and protective of not just how I feel, but how everyone else feels at all times. But for you to be able to just say, she was awful. We didn't get along. I hated her. You know how many in my life, how many showrunners I wish I could have said that about?
I just, honestly, I'm still angry. Like, it's been so many years,
what
and I'm still angry. We had huge creative differences. So what happened is when we shot the pilot for Interior Therapy, it was a great pilot. And that's what got the show bought, right? So the showrunner comes in, and she thinks she needs to shoot the show exactly the way the pilot was shot. So, I mean, look, when you're doing, it's kind of like it was lightly produced, but it's kind of docu.
Mm-hmm.
So we had this really funny like night scene, like with my co-star, Jenny and I, and it was really funny. So she thought, we got to have a night beat. Every show has to have a night beat. And I was like, and so I remember, and you know, you know what it's like.
Yes.
So you have these clients on camera and you know, a lot of them, they've never been on camera before.
Mm-hmm.
It takes so long to get them to relax and open up. So we're at a dinner, they're drinking and they're starting to open up and they're starting to tell me real shit.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, all right, we got to wrap it up for the night beat. I'm like, what fucking night beat? I'm like, are you serious?
You imbecile.
It took me a fucking week to get her to open up. And I'm like, you just cut me off to do the night beat with Jenny. No one. I mean, I remember I lost my shit.
That's justified, though. That's completely justified.
Yeah, that makes sense. You should have just let that go.
It was crazy.
With your clients, you have to develop this level of trust. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
And you're so right. They're wrapped so tight. And it comes across on camera. You got to get them to just let their guard down a bit. And it takes a lot. You know, it takes a lot of work.
And a lot of alcohol.
Well, we haven't tried that. I think we tried plant medicine, but no. No, okay, I probably would have lost it on that one, too, so you get a pass.
Yeah, it was bad. It was really bad. But, all right, so working at HGTV and being there all those years, you've worked with everybody, right?
Define everybody.
Well, you know, like, I mean, you've met everybody, right? You've met Chip and Joanna.
No.
Never. Okay, I was lucky enough to meet them. They were lovely.
I believe they are.
They were
I've
lovely.
That,
to me, they were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this was kind of pre-major fame. Like, they were just starting to boom. Mm-hmm. And we both had done a speaking engagement together. And they were lovely to me. Nate and Jeremiah, have you met them?
Yes.
You've met Nate and Jeremiah.
What'd you think?
I think Jeremiah's still mad at me. Yeah?
For what?
Well, so we met them on Rock the Block. We remember we had to judge them. Uh-huh. What was that, season two or three or
something?
Oh,
he's got an ego.
Let me just say they're a lot
of
fun. They're incredibly talented.
Yes, they are.
But they take their craft so seriously. And
you're saying that very nicely. They take themselves seriously. You're being very nice.
We didn't vote for them just for that round, and I got so many side eyes.
I mean, and then they had to come back and judge us on Rock the Block 3.
And they didn't judge it. And he held that. He held that.
No,
he was like, no. He said, tables turn, suckers burn and learn.
But it's safe to say we won Rock the Block season 3.
You did. Congratulations.
Thank you.
But are there, all right, so these designers, which reminds me, the ones that are really pretentious and the ones that speak a language I don't even speak. Do you know what I mean? Where they come in, it's like, I mean, the colors remind me of the streets of Rome when I was there and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's just like, shut the fuck up.
It's blue.
It's blue.
It's blue.
But you know what I mean? They'll take fucking 15 minutes to describe the blue.
But then they'll do the night beat.
By the way, I don't know if they're smart. But your girls are gorgeous.
Thank you so much.
All three of them.
Thank you.
Like, they're very smart.
Oh, they are. I don't know. I mean, I saw them in pictures.
No, I know.
But I mean, they don't have to be. They don't even have to be.
They're brilliant.
Yep.
What about yours? You said you have a 7-year-old, right?
Yeah, she's, I don't know what to do with her.
Why not?
Well, every day I get new reports from nannies and housekeepers about what she's saying and doing to them.
What is she saying?
Well, yesterday, I had to write this down because I want to ask you, Egypt, because I don't really, here's the other problem too. I hear about this after the fact. So she's with her other dad right now.
Okay.
So it's been a couple of days. So when she comes home, it's like weird to punish someone for saying something 3 days ago.
Mm. No, okay. It's not.
Okay. Well, let's talk about this.
What?
So this is actually this is what she said. So my housekeeper walked to me and she's like, hey, I just want to let you know I had a conversation with Monroe on Sunday. I said, yeah. And she said she was being a little disrespectful. And I said to her, I don't like how you treat me. And you know what my daughter says? Good for you. I like you standing up for yourself.
Wait.
So she's very sarcastic.
And then she goes, so then my nanny says, are you testing me? And she says, yes, I like to boss people around. I like to try. This is exactly what she said. Yeah.
I wonder where she gets that from.
Honestly, she's exactly like my grandmother.
Is she?
I think she's been reincarnated. Yes. Or my grandmother's in her head.
But she learned that from someone. I wonder who.
Uh-huh.
I wonder who that sarcasm.
Well, then this is the
part.
And
that chutzpah comes from.
And here's the part I don't like, Egypt. And this is what I need to talk to her about. She said, you are my nanny, but soon you will be my assistant.
Oh, wow.
This is where it goes over the line.
Let me ask you something. Does she follow you to work periodically?
I work from home, and I'm sure she but I don't. Do I talk to people like that?
That sounds like something. I mean, look, you know, it's the kind of thing where your kids say something and it's hysterical, but you cannot laugh in front of them because it's almost like reinforcing that. And then they'll do more of it. You cannot laugh in front of her, and you have got to address it.
Yes.
And let her know that that's not right.
No,
and she's got to show respect for
she
elders.
She needs to be respectful.
And then you come to us, tell the story, so we can crack up because that's like so Devil Wears Prada. Do you know what I mean?
At seven.
That was like Devil Wears Prada if she was 7 years mm-hmm. old, saying something like mm-hmm. that. You are my nanny, but soon you will be my assistant. Deal with it.
I know. I'm going to have to talk to her today.
Wait, how are you going to deal with it? What are you going to say?
Well, you just said even though it's been 3 days, I should say, like, you got to be more respectful.
Definitely. You definitely, because you don't want it to keep going on and then get snowballing and getting worse.
But the issue has been that I think the employees are afraid to discipline her, mm-hmm. like when I'm not around, mm-hmm. because they're afraid that she doesn't like them and they're going to lose their jobs. And but it's clear that she wants boundaries.
Right.
She wants someone.
I think you should have the conversation with her and have the conversation with the nanny and her.
Yeah.
At
the same time. This way, nanny knows, okay, he has my back.
Yeah.
And your daughter knows that, oh, my God, I'm on the spot, so I can't lie to the nanny. My dad has put it right there out on Front Street. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah. I got to get everybody on board.
Definitely.
Yeah. We had to deal with, well, it wasn't quite as bad. It wasn't Devil Wears Prada. But you could imagine with three girls, and he... Listen, they've got him wrapped around their fingers, and he's the nice, cool, fun daddy. As a matter of fact, we did an interview on the news the other day, and our daughters were asked, well, who's the strict one? And they both pointed at me like this. And I said, I have to be, mm-hmm. because if we're both just like the cool, fun, trying to be your friend parent, mm-hmm. then you're not going to have any level of discipline or respect. So let daddy be fun, because that's daddy's personality. But we often, that's what we fight about, by the way, because you asked me before, what do we fight about?
Yes.
We fight about the kids.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because I feel like I want to be the fun one sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
Yeah.
I want my kids to like me. But he always, you know, is so soft. And mommy says no. They say yes. Mommy says you can't go. Daddy says you can go. Mommy says do your homework. Daddy says the hell with homework. So it puts us on opposite sides, if you will. So
it's our approach. We have different approaches. You know, and that's what we butt heads on periodically.
But we actually dealt with this on camera this season, uh-huh. where it was like, we've got to, what did you call it? What was the
term?
You
got to be united on the same page.
Yeah.
You said, what was the term?
What was the term? You dubbed a term.
I don't know.
But anyway.
I got to watch the season again.
So bottom line is, what our kids would do is they would ask me something. I say no, or they get the answer they don't want. They go straight to him. All of them go straight to him, and he gives them exactly what they want.
But not knowing that they went to her already. So right. For me.
Oh.
So, for instance, Dad, can I get a popsicle? Oh, sure.
Did you ask your mom?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know if mom was home or not. I'm talking about just in general. In general.
Uh-oh, Egypt.
Right?
she's getting fired up.
Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, plus the stuff you don't, like gas. Save on gas while you drive the kids to soccer practice, plus visit your in-laws, plus venture into the wilderness, plus wherever else you want to go. Plus, take some guilt-free time on the couch, because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery. It's perfect for ordering new remote batteries, plus more coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you, plus snacks for your movie night. Plus, save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun, Maverick, plus Mean Girls, plus Jack Reacher, plus so much more. Because savings is what the whole Walmart Plus membership is all about. Members save on gas, plus free delivery, plus Paramount Plus, plus so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions. $35 order minimum, Paramount Plus Essential plan only, separate registration required.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
You have a very tiny little 14,000-square-foot house, mansion, that you keep adding on to.
We're done.
Are you done?
We're done.
So let's say what
we have a large family.
Yes, let's talk about why you need a 14,000 square foot house.
We only just added 1,900 square feet because my mom and dad, who live in New Jersey, are going to be retiring probably in this next year, and we want them to live their best life, travel, sell your house, and use that and travel and do all the things you never had a chance to do because you were taking care of me and my sister. Mm-hmm. You know, his mom as well is going to be retiring soon, and her husband has Alzheimer's, and so we're thinking about them and being able to accommodate them if we have to in our home. My mom is also on a cane, so we had to have an elevator put in because the reality is they may all come and have to live with us, you know, at some point.
If my parents called and said, we need a place to stay, I would cut my house in half. I would knock it down if I have to.
You don't get along with your parents?
I would take it down to a one bedroom and say, sorry, we don't have the room.
Had to downsize. It's
just the space. You're just saying that.
I love my parents. I don't want to live with them. My dad and his wife, which is my stepmom, I don't want to live with them, but I love seeing them for 24 hours.
Yeah.
So my mom and I are like oil and water, aren't
we?
Yes, very much so.
I'm in the other room when they get together.
So we always fuss. We're complete opposites. We never see things alike. But I could not imagine not being able to take care of her. It was sort of the thing that she, I think, ingrained in us when we were kids. I'm taking care of y'all now. But remember now, when I get old, it's your turn. In my head, I always thought and knew that at some point, you know, the kind of the kids become the parents. Does that make sense?
My dad still is asking for the money he spent on my college back. He still reminds me. He's like, I still don't have that check.
I paid my dad back.
Oh, you did?
I did.
I'm in at one point. I should start making payments so he'll shut up. He still brings it up.
So now here's the interesting thing about that. When it comes to relationships, you know, when you're dating, you're not just dating or thinking about the future as far as just that person. You got to look at their parents and their friends, et cetera, as well, because that's one of the things I loved even more about my wife is the fact that when I met the parents and met the family, I was like, oh, they are amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. I was like, oh, we can do this all day. So when they do decide to move in, I won't be mad because mom cooks a hell of a meal for us.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really what it is. Don't lie. That's really what it is. This man is starved. I order out. I very rarely cook. And when my mom comes, she spoils him. He never has steak except when she comes, right? So, no, he's looking forward to the cooking. But, no, I kind of look at it like, and we just are our big dream. Like, we talked about dream houses before, and I still need to know what your dream house is. But my big dream is to build a family compound and have all of our family live on 100 acres where we're together, but we still have separation, if that makes sense. And that's really something we're working toward in real life right now.
Well, that's interesting because I was going to ask you if this is your forever home. So you're saying, no, it's not your forever
home. It was supposed to be a flip house when we bought it, but then the pandemic hit and we kind of got stuck there a little bit longer than anticipated. Then all of his family moved from New York within, you know, like right around us. And I had a baby, so we needed babysitters. And then we were like, you know, we're here. Let's just wait until we make our big move. And our big move is a family compound.
Yeah.
So because I was curious, as a fellow flipper, when I'm finished with the house, I get bored. And then you either start redoing what you've already done or you move on to another house. I usually move on to another house.
Have you ever been emotionally attached to any of the homes?
Yes, I have. I have. But I always remember this is how I make my money.
Right.
And I, you know, but I told you at coffee that I have purchased the same home twice. But you never explained that.
Right. We need more insight on that.
I probably did it because of the money. Like it was a good deal the second time around. The one house that I had sold went in foreclosure. So I'd sold it to a producer couple, and their show was, when they bought the house, they had a very successful show. I think they were in their third season, but I think it was at Showtime. But what happens is, when the executives come in, they had a whole new, all new executives came in, and they decided they had a different direction, and they canceled the show. So then all of a sudden, these producers now, they've got this big, expensive house, right. Which it was, I remember, and I warned them before they bought it. I said, you know, you got to make a lot of money to have this house, because, you know, you've got the gardening and the tree trimming and the water bill and this and that. So they hung on to it, waiting for the next show. But they didn't get the next show. So then I started borrowing against it. Long story short, I ended up buying it. I think I sold it for like almost $3 million, and I bought it back for like $1.6 million. And then I resold it for $3 million again.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But,
well, yeah, it's kind of hard to stay
that
emotionally
attached.
That
makes sense.
Right?
So,
but is there a house? Like, what?
It was that house. I loved that house.
But that was your dream house?
And I'm not so, it's kind of a famous house from Flipping Out. It's Gramercy. I actually, it was on the market a couple years ago, and I considered buying it again, a third time. But it just didn't work for my family. Okay. You know, there's a lot of stairs and all of that. But I guess if I just had fuck you money and it came on the market again, maybe I would just buy it and hold it because I love it. It was a Wallace Neff. Beautiful, like a beautiful all leaded glass windows from the 30s that I had restored.
And that's your dream house.
I mean, it was one of them. Mm. I love the house I'm doing now, but that's the one that may be too many bedrooms, if you know what I mean. Because then we could have house guests that don't leave. I could have family members. Because I've always had like not enough room for people.
Okay.
So I'm worried, you know, I was going to build a guest house too. That's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Mm, okay.
Because then people will camp out.
Permanent guests.
So you always
I'm
entertaining?
Never going home.
No, I don't want to be entertaining. Okay. I feel like... no, I'm not always entertaining. See, but people are like, oh, you've got this big house. Can we stay?
We are the complete opposite. We're the house that the kids come to and, you know, hang out. We're the house that everybody cooks out at. We're where every holiday is. We're
the Super Bowl party.
We're the Super Bowl party house. Mm-hmm. That's kind of us. And,
I don't
and we love it that way.
I don't want to impose, and I don't want anybody to impose on me. So if, look, I feel like we're going to be friends. If I go to Atlanta,
come to our house.
If I go to Atlanta, this is what I'm going to do. And you guys seem like, oh, come stay with us. I'm going to say, no, I'm going to, thank you so much. I'm going to stay at a hotel, but I'll come over and hang out. But then I'll go home at the end of the night. And
yeah,
I have my space. You got your space. You don't feel
what's
like I'm.
What's your sign?
I'm Aries.
Okay. I don't know much about Aries, but is that Aries typical?
I don't know. He's an Aries. Is it Aries,
is typical? Aries
typical?
I mean, Jeff will come over, but he will be the last one to leave, if that's any consolation.
Does he leave inebriated?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Very much so.
He comes drunk. He leaves drunker.
I love a traveler.
Got it. Duly noted.
All right. So season 3, Married to Real Estate. Now you've got your family involved, much like I have with my show. I'm including my employees and my family and all of that. You guys do the same thing.
Yes, we do.
And I feel like maybe I'm curious, because I always felt like doing these reality shows, it trained me really for radio. So I don't really have any hang-ups. I'm pretty open and honest. You seem that way too. Did radio train you for?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Radio. And funny enough, so I used to be the awkward kid. I couldn't talk to people. I was shy.
But you were still hot, though, right?
I was not hot.
What?
When did you become
hot?
Yeah. When did you become hot?
High.
Everybody thinks I'm hot.
You're gorgeous.
Hot.
When did you become hot?
Babe, when did I become hot?
Always.
Aww. Okay, well, thank you. So, no, I was that kid. So radio, for me, helped me get out of my shell, because I was in a room that was probably only about a third this size with eggshells and crates on the walls, right, for sound. And I could talk and say anything, get comfortable with myself, laugh at myself. And I realized that that was my superpower, right, being able to relate to people through conversation. So it warmed me up to get ready for TV, and then essentially reality TV, where all bets are off.
Right.
You know, if you love yourself and you're totally comfortable with yourself, you can laugh. Nobody can say a thing about you. It doesn't bother you, because you're like, I already said that mess about myself.
Yeah.
I know I need to lose 30 pounds. You like, I get it. So, yeah, nothing bothers me. What about you?
We bring that into our show on purpose as well, so it can seem, not even seem, be more relatable. And that's what we get stopped about a lot. Your transparency, you guys are so relatable. We love you. We don't have fans. We have fams. because we're treated like our aunties and uncles and cousins when we see us, when they see us in Costco's or the gas station and so on. And we want to plug that in because it's reality. It's real life. So if we're going through something, if she don't want to work out with me because I'm not a good trainer as she sees it, we show that. You know, we want people to see themselves in our show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do.
Who apologizes first? You do.
All
Egypt.
The time.
You apologize first.
Because mm-hmm. it's usually my fault.
There it is.
Wow, okay.
We're both Scorpios. Yes. And our birthdays are just days apart. Mm-hmm. We're not supposed to work. You know this is not supposed to work. But we're complete opposites. Mm-hmm. He's very calm, well thought out, and I'm highly emotional and a little bit crazy. So, but that works because I think it keeps the excitement in the marriage.
It does.
Right?
It
and
does.
He keeps me grounded. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So you have a daughter from the previous marriage.
Correct.
And then you have two daughters together and everybody loves each other, gets along well.
Now,
what about, mm-hmm. do you get along with his ex? No.
You are a trickster, sir. I'll say this. So Simone is now 22.
Okay.
She's our baby. I was in her life when she was 3.
Yeah.
Right? And it has been a hard road.
Yeah.
It mm-hmm. just is what it is. I'm just glad everybody kind of matured and grew up.
Right.
Fair?
Meaning his ex. When you say everybody.
I thought I handled that well.
Meaning her.
Of course you didn't
I'm
let
just
that
glad
let
she finally grew up. Is she remarried?
No.
No. Mm.
And?
Uh-oh. And the weather is really nice today.
Oh, I love yeah. Egypt. We want Egypt on by Egypt on by herself.
Mike, step out.
God bless her.
Bless her heart.
Seriously, I appreciate her. Thank you.
Life
you
is
for,
good.
Thank you for Simone.
Life is good. Yeah.
Now you have Harper, who's what, 4?
Harper's
five now.
And is Kendall 12?
Just
yeah,
turned 12.
Just turned 12.
Okay, who out of all the three girls, who's the biggest challenge? I have one, challenge. And she's the biggest challenge.
I think it's Kendall just because of her age. She's a tween.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, those tweenagers where they're starting to feel themselves, but they're still kind of babyish. Mm-hmm. They think they don't need you, but they absolutely need you in your wallet for everything. And so there's that. But she's a sweetheart. She's brilliant. She's like a straight A student. She's mm-hmm. a volleyball player. She's mm-hmm. an incredible artist. But it's not easy. And
it's
specifically
not.
For me, because mothers and daughters have this dynamic where it's like, I love you, but I hate you. And so, yeah, she won't hug me. If I go pick her up from carpool, she walks the other way. She walks around, and she wants me to pick her up on the other side of the parking lot. And I have cried in my car because I have feelings, you know?
I have Monroe 7, and right now she loves to cuddle.
Uh-huh.
And I was just thinking about the other day, I'm like, in probably about 5 years, she's not going to want anything to do with me. So it's like, that's got to be so hard.
It is, because she was my cuddle bug, too. Mm-hmm. She was the baby, if you know what I mean, was always up under me. And then one day, she just woke up, and I feel like aliens came down and snatched her from her body. And she doesn't know me anymore. She doesn't want me. She doesn't appreciate anything, you know. But my friends who have who've been through this stage with their daughters say, right around age 16, they come back to you. So just hold on. Uh-huh.
So you got 4 more years. Well, you have Harper in the meantime.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
That was
great. And you're not only just dealing with the stuff that goes on within your household when it comes to, you know, the bumping of heads. In this day and age, especially their age group with social media and things on the outside and in school, you're dealing with the trauma that they're dealing with their friends and what they see on social media, you know, FOMO, the fear of missing out. Like, there's so much going on in their day and age. And some of these kids coming out of COVID that are still trying to come back and learn, it's a lot. So with Monroe, I don't know if you're allowing her to have a phone yet, but if you
fuck
do,
no.
Don't.
No way.
Don't.
God knows what kind of trouble she'd cause. No way.
Where did the name Monroe come from?
You know, a friend of ours, she's actually a co-host on the show, Monica Casey. We were just kind of just brainstorming one night, Gage, my ex, and I, and Monica. And she's like, what about Monroe? And it's funny because the next morning I woke up and I said, Gage, what do you think about Monroe? He's like, I've been thinking about it. I really like it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the way.
I like it too.
A psychic told me she picked her name.
She picked her name.
That's what a psychic told me.
Now knowing your daughter, you believe she picked her name.
I think she did. Thanks for listening. If you want more of this, listen to Jeff Lewis Live and Jeff Lewis Extended every weekday on Sirius XM, as well as the Jeff Lewis channel, exclusively on the Sirius XM app.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.